the Lord. Sometimes I think it is important for you. Let me tell you what the purpose of ministry is, especially spiritual ministry. Its purpose is to bring you to a place where you operate in the full potential that you're supposed to as a child of God. That's the purpose of ministration. And so we're not here to give you good stories. At least I hope you're not here to listen to good stories. And you should come with your heart postured that today is your day. Praise the Lord. And a day being your day does not mean you need to be picked out. It means that the fact that the Spirit of the Lord has led your feet here, there is a message for you. There are no chances in the realm of the Spirit. There are no coincidences. Praise the living God. And so, I need you, give me Psalms chapter 8. I'm going to read from verse 3. I've taught this before for those who have been around. When Moses, the prophet Moses, had an encounter with God, most people do not know that Moses was actually taken up into the spirit world where he saw heaven. Praise the Lord. And I've explained this before. Before you go to Psalm 8:3, go to Hebrews 8:5. I think someone needs this. The prophet Moses was taken into the spirit. This is Paul talking about what Moses was given. And he says, start from verse 4 so it makes a bit of sense. Start from verse 4. For if he were on earth, he should not be a priest, seeing that there are priests that offer gifts according to the law. Verse 5. Who serve unto the example and the shadow of heavenly things. So everything these guys were doing on earth was a pattern of something in the realm of the Spirit. And as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle, so God spoke to Moses just when he was about to make this tabernacle. And this is what he said, for see, this is God speaking, saith he. When God says see, he's not just talking, he's showing. Are you with me?
Yes.
He said, see that thou make all things according to the pattern showed to thee in the mountain. It was showed to him while he was on that mountain. 40 days, 40 nights in the spirit. He was taken to a place. He saw a pattern. It was showed to him. And he tried to copy that pattern here on earth. When Moses came up with the tabernacle, there was an outer court, inner court, and a holy of holies. But there was no worship. You with me? That's why if you look throughout the entire outer court, inner court, holy of holies, there are angels that are under the Ark of the Covenant. And you know, you ask yourself a question. How could Moses, the prophet, have an encounter where he's taken into the spirit realm, but of all the things that are there, he doesn't see the worship. He sees the pattern. So when the Bible talks about the laver of water, he saw a crystal sea. When the Bible talks about the Ark of the Covenant, he saw a throne. But he doesn't put worship in his tabernacle. Years later, God calls a man called David. And David comes up with the Davidic tabernacle. All right? He removed all these other things that David had and Moses had. Just put the Ark of the Covenant in one tent and ordered 24-hour worship. And that's where the verse came from. In Psalms 91, it says, he that abideth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And I've explained before that that statement came from the fact that even though there was 24-hour worship in that tent, only priests were allowed into it. So people who did not have access and were not priests would wait for the shadow, for that sun to hit the Ark of the Covenant and create a shadow. So they would abide in it because it's the closest they could get. Are you getting what I'm saying? That's where the statement is coming from. So David through this experience, and we know that David, being a prophet, was taken to the spirit world and saw things there, because there are constant statements in Psalms that give us clues. He says, I saw the Lord say to my Lord, sit here at my right hand. You can't say that unless you've seen it. Okay? So David goes up into the realm of the spirit, sees what John sees in Revelations. He sees, while Moses was seeing patterns, all he sees is worship. And comes and replicates it here on earth. Now, the reason why the Spirit of God is bringing that to you now is so that you can understand that when people are taken to the spirit world, they see different things in line with their calling. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. When you are taken, and you will be taken if you have it, especially if your assignment is still here on earth, when you're taken up, you will see things that are in line with your calling. And so it's always very important that a man or a woman of God who has such an experience does not come down on earth and make it a doctrine. I can pass on my experience, but I don't make it law. Because when I was taken up in the spirit, I was shown according to my pattern. Amen. You're with me so far?
Yes.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
And so, I'm heading somewhere. In Psalms chapter 8, you can go back to Psalms chapter 8. I would love to meet David. I think, you know, for me, the people that catch my heart in the Bible are people who are intimate with God. When God says, a man after my own heart, when God says of Moses, my friend, actually scripture says that he spoke to him face to face as a man speaks with his friend.
Yay!
Then Abraham is called a friend. Those guys, I want to sit down with them. In fact, during the marriage supper of the Lamb, I'll come and say, Jonah, first shift.
This is the place.
You refused on earth, now you want to refuse in heaven. Anyway, that's a joke. Oh my God. They record these things in heaven. Eh? Jonah, what are you eating? Fish. How can you eat fish when down on earth? Anyway, so these are people I want to meet. People who had, they have secrets, and each of them had different levels of intimacy with God. It's not the same level. I wish I had time, I would show you. This is where men get stature in the spirit. I will show you. So in Psalms chapter 8, David, these are one of the moments in the Psalms when he gets a revelation. And he says, when I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained. Verse 4. He says, what is man? He doesn't say who. He doesn't say who is man. He says, what is man? Now, if I had time, I would show you that you are of a certain class. And I'm not just saying that to make you feel good. Eh? It says, what is man that thou art mindful of him? In other words, he looked at people, and as he watched men going to and fro, as he looked at himself, he saw that there was something that made us. That the statement who would be insufficient in bringing into conclusion what we are or who we are. So he says, what? Now, what is Marianne indeed? What is Teresa? What is Emma? What are you? And I'll show you later that depending on the levels or the degree to which you discover what you are, you will get visitation from a spirit. I don't know if anyway. So it says, what is man that thou art mindful of him? And the son of man that thou visiteth him? Spirits visit men, and not just the chief spirit, God. This one is referring to God. But spirits, demonic and angelic, visit men. And the levels of visitation depend on the stature of a man, what he is. Praise the Lord. Spirits visit. Do you know that if you set a wedding meeting now and you hand out visitation cards, invitation cards, people would come based on who has received a card. That is not how spirits are invited. Spirits are not invited by come. Anyway, let's move on. It says, for thou hast made him a little lower than the angels. As many of you would have known, if you're a good student, you know that the word angels there is actually Elohim, meaning God. You have made him lower than God. Now, I want you to understand the class that you're at. That there is a God class, and right after it is you. I'll say that again. There is a God class. Now, what that means, that God class only has three divine beings. The Trinity, intertwined as one. Right after it is you. Now, I need you to understand, here's the reason why. When a person carries out idol worship or submits to himself to another spirit, what he's doing is evil. It's because he has taken a high-class spirit and submitted it to a subordinate. And you see, that can imply not just the spirits in trees in what, but when you make money your God, when you make, you're submitting something that is far below you. You're submitting yourself to it. And until you realize what you are, that thing cannot come when you call. Praise the Lord. So he says, for thou hast made him a little lower than the angels. This is important. And hast crowned him with glory and honor. I want to take you back to Genesis. In the book of Genesis, chapter 1, 2, and 3, we know the story of Adam. Now, I need you to understand something. The Bible says it implies that Adam had a glory garment around him. And the moment he ate of the fene, when he ate of that fene, all of a sudden the glory disappeared. And the Bible says he realized that he was naked. These clothes that we put on, we were never meant to be putting on to cover our nakedness. There was a glory that every man had that the Bible here says crowned. Now, when it scripture says crown, you don't crown a servant. Are you with me? You crown a king. In the realm of the spirit, God is a king of kings. The kings there is not referring to the kings of the world. It's referring to you and I. You don't crown a servant. You crown a king. And says he crowned him with glory and with honor. This thing is deep. Do you know that the garment here that was given unto Adam and that was meant to be given to each and every one of us is not a garment you put on. That's why it doesn't say he put on. It says he crowned him. There are garments in the Bible you put on. This glory was something that Adam was created with. It was part of him. Now, this is extremely important. Everything that God created that had a covering, that had something to cover its nakedness, came from within it. The chicken does not put on feathers. The chicken, the feathers come from within. The goat, the dog, from within. What makes you think your glory came from outside? I wish you understood what I'm saying. The glory was within, and it covered Adam, covered his nakedness. Praise the Lord. Because he was crowned and because he's a king, it's due to that aspect that the Bible then says, it is the glory of God to conceal a matter and the honor of kings to search it out. It's this aspect of kingship, royalty that you have that enables you to search. Absent of it, angels cannot search. Why? They can't search God. That aspect of royalty that you have is what enables you to search. It's what enables you to search. Praise the Lord. Now, over the past few weeks, this is a good place to start. I've been teaching on intimacy. And last week, we're touching on the secret chambers, the bed chambers. Say amen.
Amen.
And I explained that there are chambers in the secret place. It's one place, but there are chambers therein. And I touched on a few. I talked about one that has to do with presence, another that has to do with rest. Then I talked about food. And what I need you to understand, that when it comes to these experiences in intimacy, it is possible for a person to have them as real as I see you now. To go into a secret place as physically as I am before you now. But it is also possible for a person to have the same experience yet not be there physically, which a majority of people actually have. So I want you to have in your mind that everything that I'm describing, you don't necessarily have to be there physically. Although it is, you should. Yes. You should desire it. You should desire it. So I explained that there's a place in Revelation chapter 3 verse 20. Who are here? Those of you who are here. In Revelation 3:20, it says, listen, I stand at the door and knock. What does it say? And then, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And he says, if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him or dine with him and he with me. This scripture, many people used to preach it thinking it has to do with salvation. But Jesus here is talking to believers. It has nothing to do with salvation. Praise the Lord. There is a place where Jesus knocks. And once you hear the voice, you open the door and you dine with him and he with you. That's what I was explaining as food. In fact, I didn't want to do it, but let's see. Song of Songs, chapter 1, verse 4. Since that is the basis upon which I'm doing this series. Song of Songs, chapter 1, from verse 4. So this was last week and the other week. Draw me, we will run after thee. The king hath brought me into his chambers. May a king bring you. Let me leave that revelation. We will be glad and rejoice in thee. We will remember thy love more than wine. The upright love thee. Next verse. I am black, but comely. Now, this is very, very important. This is a person who has entered into the chambers of the king. And they discover they are black. Now, the black here is symbolic for the sin. There are places as you go deeper into God. You remind me, I've stopped here. The Spirit has reminded me of something. I told you in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, that he says, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice, I will dine with you and you with me. Tables in the realm of the Spirit symbolize fellowship. Tables. So even in a dream, okay? Anyway, let me leave that. So table symbolizes fellowship. And here when he's talking about dining, he's talking about fellowship. The next gate of intimacy is koinonia, fellowship with God. And it happens deep within the secret chambers, because the chambers are not organized, scattered. They are progressive in nature. And as you go deeper, you dine with God and you fellowship with Him. Now, in Song of Songs, this lady is brought into that fellowship. And as she's sitting with the king, she realizes she's black. She realizes who she is. Do you know? I don't even know how to explain it. But we haven't even got to the point yet where God speaks. Not yet. This fellowship is a fellowship absent of words. Not too much yapping. We shall talk about the speaking later, which is a gate in itself. But here, the person is just before God, and as they see Him, they see themselves. Are you with me? So first thing you see is the inefficiency that you have. That's why she says, I am black. But then she says, I am comely. So almost in the same moment that she has seen her inefficiency, she sees her capability. Amen. Are you with me? Yes. It says, I am comely. All ye daughters of Jerusalem. Here she's talking about a spiritual Jerusalem, not the natural one. Talk about that another time. As the tents of Kedah, there's so much here. Kedah means black. As the curtains of Solomon, Solomon's curtains were linen. So when she says, I am black, she's comparing her blackness to the tents of Kedah. Okay? And her comeliness to the curtains of Solomon. Only the poetic will understand. This is the Spirit of the Lord writing these things. It's just that it will take me forever to go verse by verse. Okay, next verse, verse 6. Look not upon me, because I am black, because the sun hath looked upon me. My mother's children were angry with me. I'm skipping a lot. They made me keeper of the vineyards. Mine own vineyard have I not kept. Now, this is important. You come before God, and as you fellowship with Him, the first compartment in fellowship, in koinonia, is your identity. Along with it, your call. That's why she says here, others made her keep their vineyards and neglect her own call, her own vineyard. Your dad wanted you to be engineer. Deep inside of you, you knew what you were called to be. Others made you cater for their vineyards. And yet you had your own vineyard. You had it. Now, as you come before God, your identity, there's something about you, who you are, the what that David is referring to, starts being revealed to you. What am I? Do you know that there are people on the face of this earth whom, when they are robbed, they don't go to police? They sort it out in their bedrooms. And I'm not just talking about godly people. When you see these things, I mean, some of you must have seen, you go downtown and someone has put things along the road, or even if you're going to the village, along the road, you dare just pick and run away. You might grow another foot. And you know, why such people amaze me is because the confidence they have in their spirituality is just, I'm telling you, Christians, look there. They put double bolts. The same Christians who talk about God protects us. Double bolt. Their businesses. Security cameras everywhere. The guys of the spirit don't need to see you. Because they've learned to talk to a spirit. They say, wait here. The thing is there, you can't see it. It is there waiting like this. You come and you take. The thing follows you, just makes an extra leg grow. I wish we could have the same confidence in spiritual things. The same confidence. And this is where the place I'm trying to get you to. That as you're before God, the first thing is that as you look in Him, you see yourself. You see who you truly are. You realize that you're a king. Do you know, at that point, every spirit that has ever been, except the Godhead, is under you. Under you. Now, that's why scripture says, I need you to understand. So it says, I have seen princes walking on foot and servant on horses. That scripture does not just apply to human beings. There are spirits who are supposed to be servants that are riding horse. Do you know that you can track the glory of a man? You can track it. You go look at the pictures that you took a few years back. If you're still the same, your glory has remained. But you go, you check out anointings. Okay, go to my very first album. I leave them there for a reason. Go to my very first album. And as you're looking at it, say, Jesus, you are Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Cameras capture the glory of men. So while you're busy taking these ones, make sure you take whole body so that we can see the difference later. But you can track. There is a story to every glory, a price to every rising. And one of them, the deepest of which is koinonia, fellowship with God. So at that place, the first thing that has to die for you to go deeper in God is hastiness or speed. Your desire to pray quickly, you have to kill it. Otherwise, you'll never grow in this thing. Your desire to finish praying, you must voluntarily kill it. Otherwise, you will never go deeper into this thing. Because this place is a place of time. Give up your time and just stay there. Now, as the Lord reveals to you who you are, your identity, and I'm really surprised summarizing this, the next component is that He will provide clarity. Now, along with your identity, you see, if I ask you a question, and I ask a number of people this, who are you? Why that family? Why were you born into that one? Why? These are questions many Christians cannot answer. Why that family? Why are you there? Why weren't you born in New York City downtown? Why? Why that family? Why were you born into that Muslim family or that Christian family? Why are you Kenyan? Why are you South African? Why? These are the things that fellowship reveals. Because you see, families have graces and they have callings, not just individuals. That's why the scripture says, it says, the sons of Issachar were men who understood the times and they knew what Israel ought to do. It was an entire tribe that had a calling upon it. Now, the question is, what's the calling upon your family? And what's your role in it? These are questions you need to ask yourself. Because you're not randomly brought into this earth and randomly placed there. I was telling someone the other day that if you understood how spiritual things work, that nations in the Bible are not, or nations like in the book of Revelations, because sometimes they are. In the book of Revelations, the last chapter, second last, chapter 21, verse 24, book of Revelations. Let's read it. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. First of all, This is after Satan has been thrown into the lake of fire with all his minions. The world has been renewed. So it's not referring to anything carnal. The kings here are you. The nations here are not the nations as you know them. Because the boundaries of these nations were drawn by men. Men are the ones who say, this is Kenya. This is where it stops. Okay? There are spiritual tribes. That this scripture here is referring to as nations. After God has restored all things, the nations there won't be Kenya, Uganda, it won't be that. The nations will be the spiritual tribes that are 12. It's like the best way I can explain it is Avatar. You've watched Avatar? There is airbender, waterbender, firebender. That's the best way I can explain it. There is a tribe you belong to. There are people like you. From a spiritual perspective. And until... When it says, to him who overcomes, I'll give power to rule over nations. It's not referring to these ones. There are spiritual tribes. And of the 12, because you see, remember the scripture I showed you? Everything on earth is a pattern of something in heaven. So when the 12 tribes came into existence, they foreshadowed the 12 tribes in the spirit. And the scripture says, it goes on later and says, the gate of the city, the gates will not be closed. Because there are 12 entrances. I wish I had time. 12 entrances, each tribe having an entrance and exit. So imagine you're an airbender. Can you hear sitting? You go out at night, wind hits you, yet you're an airbender. Oh, it's raining, and you have a grace upon you to make it stop raining. Easier than another person, but you don't know. You're a servant. You're a king walking. What are you? What are you? And these are the things for me personally I desire. There's a lady, I don't know if she's here. I've forgotten her name. We prayed for her healing last week. Oh, you're here. You haven't testified, have you? Okay, you come. Come. I felt it. I've just remembered it. Come. Now, some of you were here when we were praying for healing, last week. Now, I hope you don't fear people, You get used because you're going to be in the limelight, What's your name again?
Barbara.
Barbara. Oh, okay. Now, Barbara was prayed for by Tina. Where is Tina? Is Tina here? She has gone to Kenya. She's not in the spirit at all. You tell her she's not in the spirit. She was supposed to go tomorrow. But she laid hands on you. You give the testimony.
Praise God. I want to thank God for the gift of life. I want to thank God also that that was last week I came. My uncle was not fine. He had a swollen leg. He has been home for over 2 weeks. So I remember when Rabbi was moving around, like wanted to pray for someone. And I was like, yeah, I'm here. I also want to do what? I want some prayers for my uncle. He's sick. So I told Tina to pray for him. Yes. Then he was like, I will testify this week. So when Tina prayed, I remember I went back home. I called him. We talked and he told me it was fair. So on Monday, he went for work. The person who has been home for 2 weeks, not working. So on Monday, he went for work, went and worked. Then the evening, I called him. How are you? How are you feeling? Then he was like, there's some change. At least he went to work. But the problem is he can't cross the road. So it was also yesterday still. I called him. Find out, and he was like, he can now walk, though the pain is still there, but not so much. But he's fine, glory be to God.
Okay, thank you, Barbara. You can have a seat. The reason why I brought this out, the Spirit has brought this out for a reason. I want you to understand that, do you know that if you have a gift of healing, you have that grace upon you? That when you practice it, I don't know how to say this, but you need less faith than a person who doesn't have that gift. That's the best way I can say it. So a man of God will say, come, lay hands. And you go, in the name of Jesus. And it's something happens because you have recognized, or someone has recognized your potency, and they've put you in your place. Now imagine if you could do that on a daily basis for the things that you... I don't even know how to explain it. Anyway, so there is something about you. When you fellowship with God, He reveals to you your identity, creates clarity about things. This is why you were born here. Then the next thing He does is that He begins to educate you. It's called the school of intimacy. He begins to educate you on His ways and things, and why He does things particular way. And so you begin to learn that if I do this, let me give you an example. I know for a fact that when you're having a relationship with God and when you're praying in the Spirit, and God begins to teach you, for example, about impatience, God's teachings are never positional. They are prophetic. In other words, if He's teaching you about impatience in January, in November, that teaching will need to come in handy. You get what I'm saying? You begin to learn that He doesn't just do things for the now. And you see, He starts to deal with you. Imagine, you haven't started talking yet. All this you're seeing in Him. And He starts to bring out you. You're impatient. He hasn't told it to you yet, but you feel it. I need to start dealing with this impatience. Because you've been in that presence, that perfect presence, people start to see a change in you. Not by law, but by grace. That's why the Bible refers to it as the throne of grace. You're with me so far? Now, I want to explain something that I think is extremely crucial. Give me... Lord. Quick. Psalms 49, verse 20. Okay, before that, Genesis 19:29. I think that's the scripture. I'm trying to remember it. Okay, Genesis 19:29. We'll come back to this. This is Abraham. And it came to pass, when God destroyed the cities of the plain, that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow. When you have this intimacy with God, He begins to do things for you because you're intimate with Him. Lot was not saved because he was righteous. He was saved because Abraham knew God. Now, my question to you is, how many times has God, without your knowing, said your uncle will not die because of you? How many times? This is why I say you go in. There are prayers you will never have to make simply because you're intimate with God. Because scripture says He remembered Abraham. When you're intimate with Him, you're at the back of His mind. Men and women who have crossed the boundaries of normality, and they know how to touch the heart of God. If you look through scripture, there are things, the relationship with God moves from formal to informal. It doesn't move from informal to formal. So it starts with formal. Father, there's a pattern to enter the presence. But as you get closer to Him, like Abraham, the Bible says, if I have found favor in your sight, That is an intimate person. Language is not necessary anymore. You're a friend. You understand? You're a friend. You say, you sit down and you say, if you find 10 people, how many of you can say that? And you know, this is what scares me, that the Bible refers to Lot as righteous Lot, and yet in that city, he did not have the capacity to save it. Like God would have destroyed Lot with the entire city, whether he was a believer or not, because there's a certain category of intimacy he had not reached. And that's why I've said it before. You can be born again and become collateral. There are born again Christians that died in the tsunami in 9/11. They're there. But it is impossible for an intimate man to be in that building at the World Trade Center. And he says, shall I allow this building to be destroyed without revealing to my servant? There are things that don't happen. There's a realm where there's no breaking news. There's a realm where there's no breaking news. Not these things, actually. Because of that realm, do you know, that's where gossip dies. You know that? Since nothing surprises you, gossip is no longer necessary. It just dies. So if you're still in gossip realm, you know, things are tight. Praise the Lord. That's why I go back to the other scripture. I want to put it across. It says, man that is in honor and understandeth not is like the beasts. Remember, the scripture says that he crowned you with glory and honor. And it says, if you are in honor, but you don't know it, you're like a beast. Yeah, this is the Bible. And it says, beasts that perish. Now, beasts here operate by instinct. Everything they're doing, they have no clue why they're doing what they're doing. Just, that's how many Christians live. They don't know the will of God for a time. And so everything is just, you're waiting someone to prophetically tell you, this is what the Lord wants for you. How I wish that the more we pick out people, the more it becomes a confirmation instead of a surprise. So your husband is tall. Huh? What color, Rabbi? Caramel. Eh? Then right after fellowship, you walk out and you send me different shades of caramel. Then I tell you, not that she did that, please don't look at her. Then I tell you, you start saying, but me, I want tall guys. Tall guys. You're living on. You're a beast. Actually, that's the statement. Not me. Man that is in honor and understandeth not is like the beasts. Do you know that this glory that I was talking about that comes out of a person, it covers nakedness to such an extent. You will know a man is clothed with glory when before you, every time you see them, they appear perfect. And I'm not just talking theologically. You're like, but does this person even sin? How is it that they walk to heaven and come back whenever they want? Do they make mistakes? They are men and women, they do. But that glory covers. And so before men, and actually that's what it's supposed to be. It's supposed to cover your nakedness. You go to an office, you go to an airport, you go to visa appointment, and the person just looks at you as if, you're like, what manner of man is this? That is glory. That's when you know a person has been clothed in glory. When the world does not seem to see the error of man in them, and yet the error of man is there. Praise the Lord. Praise the living God. I would like you to go home with a question. The question that God asked Adam. where art thou? Because Adam was in the school of intimacy. He was in a place where the Lord would come down and teach. And one day he was not there. And God is talking about this element of fellowship, this table talk, where you sit down with God. And imagine, I haven't even gone to the gate where God begins to speak, the voice of God, just sitting before God. So God, identity, clarity, education, you reach a place where you begin to negotiate with God. Very few people have that capacity. Very few. Let me tell you the fact. There are variables in the realm of the spirit. There are things you can change. You just don't know. And I'm not just talking, I'm talking about in the will of God. There are things that can be changed by someone who, with intimacy with God, has the eyes to see those things that can be changed. There are things that are variable. There are things so variable that if they are changed, God can allow them to be changed because they will never influence the change of His will. It's for this reason, if I had time, I would show you why Jesus, in His humanity, knelt down and said, if it be possible, let this cup. Because He knew that from the Spirit there are things that are variables. There are things that can be changed. Do you know that I can come, prophesy that your husband is Jamaican, and you say, no, Lord, and it can change? I know what I'm talking about. I told a story here of a girl who went to a prophet. She went before him, and the year before last, and I said, man of God, marriage. He said, I see a white man. No, man of God. I don't want a white man. I don't want a white man. In that moment, he said, it has changed. He says, I see a black man, but he's lame. I said, man of God, let's go back to... Let us go back to what? The white guy. And you see, the thing is that once it's changed, you can't change back. It's not that's all. You only change forward. Long story short, they lived happily ever after. with the lame black man. So lame black naenga arina sente. And he's a very loving man. So some things are variables. Some things are variables. God can, I wish you could understand, God can take you to your job, give you a job by the grace of God in a company. And if your spiritual eyes were opened, your boss can be a variable. And if your eyes, this is why I'm telling you to push in, because you would be like a kid in a candy store. I changed that. The same boss is like, hey, what did you? Why are they speaking over you? What? And you can't see that he's a variable. Once you kneel and say, Lord, negotiation. I'm telling you. In that place of intimacy, that fellowship, that koinonia, because you see, there's a corporate intimacy, but then there is a personal one, which I'm focusing on. You and God. Both of you. You and God. Huh? Praise the Lord. Amen. Every week I tell you, I beg you, press in. It's my desire. I've never done series. At least it's long. But this is one of my biggest. And I know some people are not ready for what I'm sharing now. So at some point in the future, maybe you'll get the audio and you'll find the relevancy. But this is more crucial for your life than anything else. Anything else. Press in. The other week when I was talking about worship, the Lord reminded me, I forgot to say something. Our generation has killed hymns. And yet, they are powerful hymns that were not created carnally. They were birthed from the Spirit. And they were birthed in faith. You know, some of my favorite hymns. You know this, Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. You know it? Yes. Not be all else to me, save that thou art. By day or by night, waking or sleeping, thy presence smile. Now, you should know the story of the person who... Such songs are not... We want fast word, but that's where there's a reason why Paul said, singing melodies unto God in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. Don't kill these things. There are hymns that are close to me. You know this one now? Come thou fount of every blessing. I can sleep on just those hymns. Me? You're joking. I may not look like a hymn guy. But I am a hymn guy, especially specific ones. This is why you see people who have gotten closer to God, they are addicted to specific types of songs. Specific types. Out of a blue, a man will just sing a hymn, and you say, "What? Why are we singing hymns?" Yo, one day I'll teach on worship in its intensity. I'll do a series. Amen. I'll do a series on it. Amen. Because there are songs, the Bible says in the book of Deuteronomy, won't turn there. Moses, as he was about to die, the Bible says, and Moses said a song for another day. And so as he spoke, he sang. He didn't really sing. The Bible says he said. And in heaven, in the book of Revelations, they sang the song of Moses. You know, you guys, do you know what it means to sing a song here? Now, if in heaven they sing the song of Moses, and Moses sang it on earth, its origin was not earth. It existed in the spirit, but a man picked it up. And because he was the only one who picked it up in heaven, it's given an identity. Moses' song. May God give you a song in your spirit. Songs that are born from this place. You're not so deep. You don't preach so much. You don't. But all you know is that when a song hits your spirit, you open up to God. When the Bible talks about spiritual songs, it's referring to songs. You know, the psalmist David, he said, I sing a new song unto God. A new song is not just a song that did not exist. You can sing a song that exists, but its grace is different. That's why, as I conclude, that's why, if you really want to learn how to be prophetic, learn to read the songs in your spirit when you wake up and when you go to sleep in the night, because they prophesy to your day. Please. And also learn to pick and choose songs. I don't know. For me, specific hymns. There are specific worship songs. You guys know Bill Gaither? Yes. Now, please, if you don't know him, don't just to be a part of a crowd. Say, yeah, it's okay. Bill Gaither has composed thousands of hymns. But if you listen to a man like Benny Hinn, this session I've never talked about Benny Hinn. No, it is. But if you listen to him, he'll tell you he doesn't like praise songs.
says, are you take your loud songs? Take them that side. And he says, yes, they glorify God, but not for me. I don't want. Then he starts. This is my story. Sing it to the road. Hallelujah. And you see, these are those, because he picked the mantle from his spiritual parent. And that pattern doesn't have praise. It just has worship. May God open to you. Because you know we're in the season of God. Jesus died today. Huh? He was betrayed today. When did he die? Hey, by the way, I saw your status. Eh? This male species betrayed Jesus today. Anyway, I think we don't have one for Eve. But we're in a season of resurrection. And so because this is a season, I want you to understand that even though on a calendar concept, Jesus did not die on this day or was not betrayed on this day, I want you to understand that because this is a season of resurrection, may everything that's dead in your life resurrect. May every hope, every dream, every desire, everything that is birthed in your heart, may it resurrect in Jesus' name.
Come delve deeper into the mysteries of God with the distinct Rabbi Daniel Malinga every Friday, 5:30 p.m., Silver Springs Hotel, Bugolobi, Kampala, Uganda. For more information, visit our social media pages at Rabbi Daniel Malinga and website at www.rabbidanielmalinga.com.